This is Everything is Workable, a series of podcasts and blog posts that examine how every experience, every situation, every moment is an opportunity to work with our mind. My name is Caitlin Hatch, and I'm a creative polymath, which is a nice short way of saying I'm a designer, artist, animator, and published author. My purpose in life is to inspire curiosity, to inspire people to let go of the limited ideas that they have about themselves and their experience. Through the posts and podcasts of Everything is Workable, I hope to share some insight into what this means and give you some ideas of how to make your world so much bigger. I'll have various different guests to share their stories, as well as sharing my own, all with the aim of seeing everything as workable, even the most uncomfortable situations. I genuinely believe that every single human being is basically good. But not believe in a wouldn't it be nice kind of wishy-washy way. I mean, believe in an as of yet, I have never met anyone who isn't so experientially, this is what I've got to go on. But I didn't always see it this way, because I didn't always get what was meant by basic goodness. Basic goodness, as I understand it now, from studying Buddhism, is not good in the sense of virtuous or correct, but good as in, we all want to be happy. Every single human being on the planet just wants to be happy. The best way I ever heard it put was by Pema Chodron, when she said, "No one does anything because they want to feel worse." Everyone is basically good. This doesn't mean everyone can't also be a total asshole sometimes, which also means that you are occasionally a total asshole, whether you realize it or not, or want to notice it or not. It means that I know, well, I don't always know, but it means that I know I can be a total asshole. Which is rather liberating, really, because it means that you don't have to be flawless. But you certainly can be kind and compassionate, and ultimately, that's what recognizing basic goodness is all about. When we put on a jumper because we feel cold, when we shift positions so a limb doesn't fall asleep, when we put a band-aid over a paper cut so it doesn't sting, these are all signs of our basic goodness, our basic compassion and care and kindness. It might seem totally naive to say that people are basically good in light of the atrocities that are committed on a daily basis. I get that. And therefore, it may seem easy to argue against basic goodness. I used to do it all the time. We could say that the news is full of examples of the basic badness of human beings. People kill each other every day. People shoot, bomb, and behead others. I remember hearing about an attack on a school in the Middle East several months ago. I was standing in the kitchen and listening to the reporter describe how students witnessed one of their teachers being set on fire. We hear these kinds of reports so often we become numb to them, but I remember that day when I heard that report, my heart absolutely ached for everyone in that situation, and I began to cry. Saying people are basically good is not the same as saying people are basically sane, or people are basically self-aware, or people are basically skillful. We are all neurotic in our own ways, and the discomfort we feel about our neurosis is what drives a lot of our actions. We go into a default mode to try and make ourselves feel better in a constantly changing, unpredictable world. We feel like if we could just bring the world to a perfectly fit standstill with everything totally in balance, then we might feel sane. If we could get everyone to agree with us, then we'd be okay. So we act foolishly, carelessly, even unkindly, and outright viciously, some more vicious than others in the case of fundamentalist mentality that can lead to brutality. But these actions are still based on this basic goodness, this basic longing we have to be happy. The teachings on basic goodness are not saying that we are virtuous. They're not saying we are perfect, flawless, good, as in nice people. They are saying we all have a longing to connect to happiness, to feel love and belonging, and to be seen. Cynics, and I'm just going to say cynicism, is really healthy. No teaching has any value if it doesn't agree with your own sense of reason. You don't have to buy any of it, and it's important to test it against your own experience of the world. I have done that with teachings on basic goodness, and I recommend that you do that. And as I repeatedly have done in this show, I'm always going to recommend it, that you go out and try it yourself and test these things out and really apply it in your life and see what happens. But getting back to the point, cynics might say, someone who shoots up a school or who convinces a 10-year-old to be a suicide bomber is evil. There's the Bodhicaryavatara. The Bodhicaryavatara is a piece of writing that was written thousands and thousands of years ago. It's also translated, the title is translated to mean the way of the Bodhisattva. And it's effectively a text of contemplations and teachings to help you live your life effectively. Verse 6.39 in the Bodhicaryavatara provides a very helpful contemplation in this regard to the idea of someone being evil. The verse is, if those who are like wanton children are by nature prone to injure others, what point is there in being angry, like resenting fire for its heat? This verse asks us to consider, if we believe that some people are basically bad, then we're really foolish for resenting them. Resenting someone for their supposed inherent nature would be like getting angry at a rock for being hard or fire for being hot. In fact, what greater proof of basic goodness do you need than our expectation that someone shouldn't harm us? We only think people should know better because we believe that they can know better. In fact, our very shock at reports of violence, our aversion and disbelief, is further proof of this basic goodness. When I cried to hear that children had been made to watch a teacher being set on fire, that a human being had died such a painful death, and that there were people so convinced of the rightness of what they believe that they could and would set a human being on fire. That was me recognizing basic goodness. The fact that not one of the individuals involved wanted to feel pain or suffering or heartache or terror. They just wanted to be seen and to be right. That doesn't mean that it's not messed up, and that doesn't mean that it's not really painful. If we truly believe that people are basically bad, then we would never be surprised by the things that we read in papers. And we always are. We're shocked by this kind of stuff. Sometimes a little bit less, because we do have a bit of distance from it, but a lack of shock because of distance doesn't mean that we're numb to it completely. And when we read something horrific and we think to ourselves, I can't imagine being angry enough to kill for my belief or whatever it is that we've read about, that's a sign of our own basic goodness. The things we do that cause harm are not born of some inherent evil within us. We are all confused beings scrambling in the same impermanent world. Not a single living creature doesn't want to feel safe, secure, and content. This is the motivation for all of our actions. Test that one out. Go ahead, ask yourself, am I doing this because I want to feel comfortable? I want to feel safe? And I want to feel happy? When a natural disaster occurs, I can't help noticing that the first thing people do when they realize that they can't do anything else is reach out to help one another. The world is not a fixable place. There is no single idea of what a perfect world would be, and even if there was no war, no natural disasters, and we weren't a threat to one another, we would still have to contend with old age, sickness, and death. Recognizing basic goodness is difficult when we are faced with so much pain at the hands of others every day. I get that. Bringing it back to Pema, the quote that I said at the beginning, no one does anything because they want to feel worse. I tell myself this whenever I find myself labeling a fellow human being as bad or wrong. I tell myself this to help me see their humanity. The effect it has is I'm then able to see how that person who just insulted me is scrambling to protect themselves, to ease their anxieties or fears or upset due to something going on in their life, completely separate from me. This isn't about letting others harm us. We can recognize that someone is basically good, but that they are also not aware enough not to cause harm, and therefore it is entirely within our right and entirely reasonable to remove ourselves from the situation or from their life. Boundaries are great. Establish them. They're important. This in itself is an act of kindness because we are no longer letting them perpetuate their own suffering by being their target of anger. But by doing this from a place that recognizes basic goodness, we are also not carrying our own anger. We can feel the anger as a way to establish those healthy boundaries, but then we're free to let it go. We can move through it. I find when I work this way, the anger generally transforms into sadness. Sadness for the fact that this person can't see how they're causing their own pain and suffering. And the sadness that I'm describing, it's not pity. Pity implies that we are somehow above this experience of lashing out or being arrogant or defensive. And as I said at the beginning, actually, we can all be total jerks sometimes, or assholes, I think is what I said. We haven't figured it all out any more than they have. And it's naive to say that we couldn't possibly act in such a way. We all do. We all do things that cause more harm than good in an attempt to make ourselves comfortable. The sadness that I would feel is actually more a sense of camaraderie, that we are all equally confused about what might be of benefit and what might actually be quite painful. And I'm not just talking about extremes. I'm talking about little things, like being resentful towards a new cashier that you feel is taking way too long, or getting miffed about the person in front of you at the bank who can't seem to find their card in their bag. It's easy to justify irritation and create this sense of other, useless employee who can't move faster, that kind of thing. But then, will it really help this person move faster if we're annoyed and aggressive? Sure, we feel like our lunch break is being eaten into because they're taking so long, but does that really justify our impatience when someone is learning? Learner drivers are a brilliant example of this. I feel like people forget what it's like to be a learner driver. It's terrifying, especially the first few times out. And yet other drivers, every single one of them who was once a learner driver themselves and knows what it's like to be in that hot seat, can be really impatient, aggressive, and downright rude towards the learner driver who just took that turn a little bit too slowly or something. This is what I mean by shared humanity. We recognize that everyone just wants to be okay and feel okay. We can practice this in light situations, like with those learner drivers and new cashiers and dotty old ladies in bank queues. And the more we do, the more we remind ourselves that no one does anything because they want to feel worse. We can start applying it to the manager who berates us in an open plan office. And then our mother for criticizing our choices. Whew, this is a big one. And then the more we work with it, we can go even bigger. The politician who really has gone against something we believe in. The fundamentalist extremist. The violent criminal. I can only, as ever, speak to my own experience. But I can tell you, in that experience, though it's been subtle and slow over time, there has been a profound transformation in how I relate to others. It's much more comfortable to feel shared humanity than to feel a sense of enemy and other, and all the fear and apprehension that goes with that. And it's a lot more workable. It helps me to respond more effectively. It definitely helps to make things more workable.
Thank you for listening to Everything is Workable, a Funwolf Creations production. If you have a question you'd like to ask, a topic that you'd like me to tackle, or if you'd like to become a contributor, you can get in touch with me through www.vast-skythinking.com by visiting the Everything is Workable blog. Thank you to the very talented Dexter Britton for sharing his music with the world. The music used in this podcast is from his Creative Commons Volume 5 album, available on www.dexterbritton.co.uk.